والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we pray blessings and his benediction upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And thereafter we testify that there is no person or deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam is his slave and his messenger. Today inshallah we'll be reading al-hadith al-29, the 29th hadith from the collection of al-Imam al-Nawawi in his Arba'un, the hadith of عالم الناس بالحلال والحرام في الأمة أبو عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه. So in it, Al-Imam al-Nawawi said عليه رحمة الله عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من تيسره الله تعالى عليه، تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا، وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة، وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة الرجل من جوف الليل ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون. ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر؟ ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر كله وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ قلت بلى يا نبي الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. قلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثقلتك أمك يا معاذ، وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. This hadith has been reported by the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم معاذ بن جبل. And as we had mentioned earlier in one of his narrations, that his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. Muadh ibn Jabal, his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. He has a lot of fadail in the books of fadail. And the one that usually comes to the mind is the fact that he's one of the most beloved people to the Prophet Muhammad. It is not every person that the Prophet loved that he told that he loved. It is not every person the Prophet loved that he told that he loved, I love you. It is not every person that he did that too. Or he told the people, I love so and so. For some people he told them, I love so and so. Like Hibbur Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Zayd ibn al-Harith. The Prophet told the people, I love him. And his son Usama ibn Zayd, Hibbur Rasul ibn Hibb Rasul. the beloved of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of the beloved. So the Prophet loved Zayd, and he also loved alayhi salatu wasalam, his son Usama. And he told the people, I love him and I love his son, Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhuma. So for some people, like Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet said to them, like Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said to them, I love him. In fact, he said, وَلَّوْ اتَّخَذَ صَاحِبُكُمْ خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. He said to take him more beloved friend, because the status of khulla is deeper in love and closeness than the status of hibb. The status of love, just loving somebody, habib, making somebody your beloved, is lesser in the extent, in the depth of love, than the status of having somebody as his khalil. So his love for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was so strong, I would have made him my khalil, but Allah is my khalil. Allah made me a khalil. Imam Muslim reported this hadith. So some people like that, many of the companions, there are some of them, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, he accepted Islam less than 2 months before the Prophet died, alayhi salatu. And let's get that, he said, the Prophet never saw me. Al-Imam Bukhari mentioned this hadith in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never saw me except that he was laughing. Anytime he saw me, he would smile to me. This is Jarir ibn Abdullah. If he did not love him, he would not show him the shasha. From the symbols of love for a man is that each time you see him, you smile. So the Prophet did that to some companions. So from amongst those he told that I love you was Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Says, Ya Mu'az, Wallahi inni la uhibbuka. Three things. Ya Mu'az, he made me that. To call his attention. He says, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, inni tawqid, la tawqid again, uhibbuka. I love you, I swear by Allah. Mu'az radiallahu anhu said, he said, bi abi wa ummi anta ya Rasulallah. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Let my mother and father be high. You know, the most precious thing to a man are his parents. I give them to you in sacrifice. The Arab used these words to show that they could give anything to the person to whom they spoke. He mentioned that statement to the Prophet Muhammad. He said, وَكَذَا أَنَا وَاللَّهِ أُحِبُّكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, the same thing, I love you, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet said to Mu'az, swearing by Allah that he loves him. So, and it is not possible that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had loved Mu'az except that he had been loved by Allah. And the evidence for that was that if he had not been rightly loved by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah would have cautioned him, no, don't love him. He was swearing by Allah, I swear by Allah, I love you. So this is from the great fadail of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that he was loved by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the Prophet told him that he loved him, not just telling him, Ana uhibbuka, la, inni wallahi uhibbuka. I love you, I swear by Allah, I love you. And he grabbed his hand. When he was saying that, he said, فَأَخَذَنِي بِيَجِ. Imam al-Tabarani alayhi rahmatullahi reported this hadith. فَأَخَذَنِي بِيَجِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ إِلَّا. So, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, from the best things that could be said of him, was that he was loved by Allah and his messenger. From that also is that he's from the most learned about the Quran in the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. He referred us, alayhi salatu wasalam, to some people from whom we should take the Quran. Many of the companions learned and memorized the Quran, but you know, وَرَفْعَنَا بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. That is the way Allah has created mankind. People have levels in terms of knowledge, in terms of different things and favors that Allah grants. From amongst those who knew the Quran most was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. From them also was Ubayy ibn Ka'b. From them also was Abu Abdurrahman ibn Ummi Aswad, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhum. And we remember that when the companions made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, from amongst those that had mu'aha. You know, the Prophet was pairing a muhajir to an ansar. He would pair a muhajir to an ansar. It was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that was paired with Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So you can know how that house will be. The house wherein Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was. So you could just imagine how lightened up with knowledge the house will be. So these are from the fada'il of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then he said alayhi salatu wasalam regarding him that أَعْلَمُ الْأُمَّةِ بِحَلَالِ اللَّهِ وَحَرَامِهَا Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The most learned in this ummah about the halal of Allah, that is things Allah has made halal and the things Allah has made haram, is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Abdurrahman. The Prophet said so, alayhi salam. So he's from the most learned in this ummah. One of the things that usually give me a lot of concern and that which each of us should be considering when we think about people like this is that Mu'adh ibn Jabal was not a very elderly person. It was said that by the time of Ghazwat al-Badr, he was just between 20 and 21 years of age. Between 20 and 21, at the time of Badr. It meant that at the time the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would be about 29. And he did not live long. He died in the 18th year after Hijrah. After the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, just at that, if you're having just about 38 or something, 28 after Hijrah. So, if you're having just about 38 years of age, 37, some say 27, some say 28. But he was a very young person, radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And yet he has all these encomia from Allah and his messenger. So I'm sure most of us that these faces I'm looking are averagely about 30, 40. So how much of contribution have we made? So we are always saying tomorrow I will try, tomorrow I will start this soon, tomorrow. Mu'adh ibn Jabal died in an epidemic. This epidemic was very popular in the history of Islam. It used to be called Ta'un Amwas. Ta'un Amwas, many companions died in it. It took place in Sham. Amwas is a place near the place they refer to as Gaza, in Palestine. It was from there that the epidemic started. It was where Mu'adh died. Ulama say some of his children died there. They didn't have many children. Radiallahu anhu, Abu Abdurrahman. So this was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. He's the one who recorded this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad. The one that the Prophet swore by Allah that he loved. And yet he has a question. He asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a question. I used to say, because if you are familiar, last week we were talking about, or the week before we talked about Jama'at al-Tabligh and all of this. People are used to saying that, oh, but these people are scholars. Okay, they are scholars, so they should innovate into Allah's religion. If they learned Islam, they know Arabic, they know some hadith, they know some fiqh. So they should bring innovation into Allah's religion. They should make taqawul Allah. They should say what Allah has not said and say that it is from Allah's religion. But these are people that they have been told that, look, I love you. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who brought the Quran, said, Wallahi, I love you. The Quran was still being revealed at the time. And yet Allah did not say no, he's not supposed to be loved, oh Muhammad. He also said, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I love you. If he had lied, like the Munafiqun lied for their love for the Prophet Muhammad and their iman in him, Allah said they are liars. Innahum lakazibun. If it were a lie, Allah would have said, no, Mu'adh is not true. But Mu'adh loved Allah and his messenger, and the Prophet loved him. He loved the Prophet. Alayhi salatu. And yes, he's asking this question. And he is called Alamul Ummah bi halalillahi wa harami. The best of this ummah, the most learned in this ummah regarding halal and haram. Yet he didn't say, oh, I'm the most learned in halal and haram, so I can do something. He still wants to ask how to get to Al Jannah. Despite his status, radiallahu anhu, how can I get Al Jannah, O Messenger of Allah? So he asked the Prophet Muhammad. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Once I said, O Messenger of Allah, أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ يُدَخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةَ وَيُبَعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ Tell me a deed that I will do. يُدَخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةَ that will grant me, or by means of which I will gain al-Jannah, wa yubaiduni anin nar, and by means of it also I will be put away from the fire. Tell me what I will do. There are a lot of benefits here. From that is that the path to al-Jannah is known and can only be known from revelation. It's not something a person fashions for himself. It is something that is established, that we have to follow it. It is not something that we initiate. If it were to be something we can initiate, Muaz is in the best place to initiate. But he did not initiate. He's asking, tell me the path to get to Al-Jannah. Let him tell me how to get to Al-Jannah. Secondly is that it is the ulama that are asked questions. He didn't ask any person except the Prophet Muhammad, because that is the most learned at the time, alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, we know who Muaz was himself. So he couldn't ask any other person than the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet gave him the response, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it also makes us understand that from the ways to learn in Islam is through questions and answers. It is not all the time that the Prophet will come and start talking. Sometimes it is the companion who will come and then ask him. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, if the Bedouin comes from the desert to see the Prophet Muhammad, we used to gather and keep silent, because we know that they will ask questions from which we will benefit. We have been prohibited from asking questions. La tasalu an ashiya in tubdalakum tasukum. So we have been prohibited. Don't be asking him too many questions. Kasratu su'al. We have been prohibited from that. But when someone who is not amongst us comes, we want to know. We will sit down there. If they are asking, we'll be listening to the responses of the question. So it means that it's not all the time the Prophet will stand up to address the companions. Sometimes the addresses will come as a result of what? Questions. And that was what happened also in the hadith, very, very popular hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel came, all the questions about Islam, about Iman, about Islam, about Lamatusa, and all of these was from questions and answers. And at the end he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. Jibreel came, alayhi salatu wasalam, yu'allimukum dinakum, to teach you your religion. So from the aspects of learning the religion is by asking questions and answers. And that's why the scholars of hadith and also the scholars of fiqh, it is common amongst them, they have what they refer to as masail. The Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, alayhi rahmatullah, the compiler of Sunan Abi Dawud, when he met Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, it was not as if he was reading narrations from him. He had su'alat. He had piled up questions. So when he would meet him, he asked him, what is this? He gets an answer. What is this? He gets an answer. What is this? He gets an answer. It's one of the ways the scholars learn. Many of them had su'ala. These days, in our time, we commonly hear the Shaykh, the big alim, Hafizahullah, Abu Ishaq al-Thuwaini. He also was a learned person already. But when he had to go to Shaykh Al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah, he was not going to start learning a book. All he learned from him were questions and answers. And anyone who listened to do the su'alat between Sheikh Al-Albani and Abu Ishaq, you know who Abu Ishaq himself was. You know, when someone asks someone a question, the person who is asked knows who is asking. This kind of question is not asked except someone who has, you know, soft in between books. And that was actually how Abu Ishaq was and is. Soft books. So when he met Sheikh Al-Albani, the Sheikh Imam alayhi rahmatullah was responding as an imam. Now, did you find any book from Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah? Abu Ishaq al-Albani, did he read any book? The same thing Al-Ma'arabi, Abu Sulaiman. He did not read any book from Sheikh Al-Albani. They went to questions, su'alat. Say, what is this? What is this? What is this? In fact, in some of them, the Sheikh will say, you know the answer to that. So the Prophet said something similar to that too. Mal mas'ulun anha bi a'lama min as-sa'il. So it's like equating you and me. We know that nobody knows the time.
So if you say you know the answer better, it's like I know that you know the answer. And it is not wrong to ask an alien someone something that someone already knows, so that others too will make benefit. So from here is that asking questions, making questions and answers also is from the ways of learning Islam, as we have tried to explain. So he asked alayhi rahmatullah radiyallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. Tell me, give me information about an action that when I perform it, by means of it, Allah will grant me al-Jannah and He will send me away, He will put me away from the fire. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this also shows the himmah of the companion, their enthusiasm, their eagerness to know about goodness and act upon goodness. They are not just tell me so that I'll know. And whenever there are so many of them that ask the Prophet questions like this, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the first hadith in Adab al-Mufrad for Imam al-Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul amali afdal, which of the deeds is best for Messenger? It's not because they just want to know, but because they want to know and act upon it. Because action is the summer, is the fruit of knowledge. Knowledge without following it up with action is behaving like the Jews, like one of the scholars said, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymi. And to act without knowledge is behaving like the Christians. The Christians don't have knowledge, but they have a lot of action. But the Jews have a lot of knowledge, but no action. So, but the companions, Ummat and Wasafan, they learn and they act, the two together. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Ayyul amali afdal, which deed of all the deeds of the Sharia is best? He says, As-salatu fi waqtiha, performing the salah at its time. And that was why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from the companions, he had a lot of afar where he warned the ummah about sticking to salah at its time. In fact, his statement that is so popular that لَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَّلْتُمْ, he's actually talking about salah. That keep on the salah, keep on the salah. In the end, he says, because it is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, لَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ, yes, I now made that statement. لَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ, if you leave the sunnah of your messenger, لَضَلَّلْتُمْ, certainly you go astray. He was talking about salah. So each of them, when they ask the Prophet regarding a matter, you will see that matter in their life. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he heard of him that he prays in the night, he fasts during the day. He prays in the night, he does not sleep. He fasts during the day, he does not break his fast. Why? And he does not cohabit with his wife. His mother, Amr ibn As, was just 9 years older than him, married a woman for him. But he was not interested in the woman. So the woman used to look shabby. So when she visited the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wife said, what kind of thing is this woman? How are you dressed like this? Why are you looking so shabby? This says that women should not be looking shabby. They are not saying they should go out of their homes with a barijat, but in their homes they should dress properly. The wives of the Messenger radiallahu anhu, we are saying to her, why are you looking like this? You don't have a husband. You have a husband now. Why are you looking like this? Say, my own husband doesn't look at us. Doesn't have time. During the day, it's fast. In the night, tahajjud. So he does not have time for women. The Prophet said they should call Abdullah ibn Amr. I heard that you are like this. This hadith is reported in Bukhari, Muslim, Arab al-Mufrad, and Kutub al-Sunnah. Very popular hadith. I heard that you are not, you don't care about all these things. The Prophet started telling me, yes. Say, because I want the Jannah. So he started to tell me, you fast every day, yes. He fast Monday and Thursday, say, oh Messenger of Allah, I can do better than that. He say, fast a day, leave 2 days. If you calculate fast a day, leave 2 days, it is still Monday and Thursday. Say, okay, fast 3 days of the month. He say, Prophet, I can do more than that. He say, okay, fast the fast of Nabi Dawood, Abadu Khalqillah, the most worshipful of the servants of Allah, Dawood alayhi salam. one day on, one day off. If a prophet I'm stronger than that, he said then there is nothing more than this one. The prophet said to Alayhi Salaam. So he was fasting one day on, one day off. And then he was also used to reading all of the Quran in the night. So the prophet told him to stop and not exceed 3 days. But what happened in the end of his life was that he found it difficult. He found it difficult to be fasting one day on, one day off. He found it difficult to be reading all of the Quran within 3 days because of so many things. One of them is old age. So what he will do is not to stop reading the Quran in 3 days. So he will read some during the day, he will read some during the night. So that at least he can do it. He does not want to stop that upon which the Prophet left him. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Allah. And he said, Ya laytani, waqaftu haythu awqafani ya Rasul. I wish I had stopped where the Prophet stopped me. So I found it difficult at the end of the day. I wish all those things he suggested I had accepted. So they used to act upon, they asked. He didn't stop it. That's why he said I was finding it difficult, radiallahu anhuma. He didn't stop it. He still continued with it. And don't forget, he is the one who wrote most hadith. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He was the one who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Quraysh, they used to abuse me that everything you say, I'm writing it. Should I continue to write or she stopped? Say, Tubhu, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا إِلَّا الْحَقُ. He said, write it because nothing comes out of this. The Prophet pointed to his mouth, alayhi salatu salam. إِلَّا الْحَقُ. Except the truth. So he was writing hadith, he was fasting, he was reading Quran, he was making tahajjud in the night. Radiallahu anhu. Because they wanted Al-Jannah. The day the Prophet told him, radiallahu anhu, that come, this hadith is contained in Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He said, come, but when you are coming, get a sword. Prepare your sword and come. You are going to lead a soldier, an army band on a battle. He came to the Prophet Muhammad to go and fight so and so people. When you fight them, you get a lot of ghanima, you get a lot of, you know, property, booty, war booty. So go and fight them. He said, oh messenger of Allah, I didn't enter Islam so that I can get war booty. Ibn Amr ibn al-As. But the Prophet was like that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because, like Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that some people came into Islam. Because this hadith again, that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith is contained in Sahih Muslim. An Arab kafir came to him and said to him, because he was very benevolent, generous, alayhi salatu wasalam. But Abdullah ibn Abbas told us, he says, Kana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad al-nas. The most generous of human beings was the messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. They knew he was the most generous. A village Arab came one day, he wanted to start Salah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to start Salah. The Iqamah had been made. He should just start the Takbirah, at Tahrimi and the Salah should start. He grabbed the dress of the Prophet from behind and dragged him. Messenger of Allah, I have a Hajjah. Please fulfill the Hajjah before you start the Salah, so that I don't forget. They started Salah, the Salah was to start. Just Takbir will start the Salah. So the Prophet said, what was this? He mentioned the Hajjah and the Prophet fulfilled the Hajjah. Okay, good. Now we can pray. So the Prophet was known to be generous, alayhi salam. Even the kuffar, they knew. So a non-Muslim kafir, a non-Muslim from the Quraysh, asked the Prophet one day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a head of animal in a valley, a head of animal, group of animals, within two mountains, in a valley, to give me this large. The Prophet said, take it. Alayhi salam. He ran to his people, say, Ya Qawm, my people, come and accept Islam. He said, because the Prophet والسلام, is not afraid of penury, he's not afraid of poverty, he's very generous. If you accept Islam, he'll give you anything you wanted. Come to accept Islam. And his people came and accepted Islam in large numbers. So Anas ibn Malik reported this hadith, radiallahu anhu. He said, no one accepted Islam wanting to get material benefit of this dunya. Except that when he accepted Islam, Islam became dearer to him than those worldly benefits. So he does not want those worldly benefits again. Because when he came in now, he saw that this thing inside Islam is greater than the worldly benefit. You will be reading Surah Al-A'la. قُلَ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَكَرْتَ عَاجِحَ. So you see, so there is something better than this one that I have. Allah made them to see the reality. So Anas radiallahu anhu, no one accepted Islam because of worldly benefits. Except that when he became a Muslim, those things became minor to him now. The Islam became the major thing to him. So people like Amr ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As were telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't accept Islam because we wanted ganima. The Prophet said to him, alayhi salatu, ni'ma al-malu salih li rajulin salih. Alayhi salatu salam. Nice money for a nice person. A pious man has pious money. So in the end, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, from most worshipful servants, was also from the richest amongst the companions of the Prophet. So the two do not contradict, ikhwan. And the margin ground is these, are these. So he was worshipful, he was full of worship in the night, he was full of making salah. In fact, at the time of the companions, one of the kings, Marwan, saw a garden that was owned by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. It was said that there is a wood that is cultivated in that garden, that's the most expensive kind of wood. Is cultivated. The garden was supposed to be in Far East. He was asking who has this garden. They said Ibn Amr ibn al-As. So he combined between the two. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ni'ma al-mal as-salih li rajulin salih. Nice wealth for a pious servant of Allah. So these were how the companions were. Each time they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what should I do? Which one is best? Which one is best? Which one is best? So that he can do it. Mu'adh ibn Jabal in this hadith was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for an act that he will perform that will take him to Al-Jannah and will make him go away from the fire of Jahannam. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You have asked regarding something great. You have asked a big question, or you have asked about a big matter. I know Allah had mentioned that things connected to getting into Al-Jannah, it will say ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي and don't come. فَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ فَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. So the question regarding فَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ is also what? عَظِيمُ. So the Prophet said عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ فَلَمْ سَأَلْتُ عَنْ عَظِيمِ. So you have asked regarding a big matter, serious matter. Matter is serious. So you know, the zeal of Mu'adh was further raised by the Prophet saying that the matter is serious. Someone wants to ask him about the matter. Please, how can I buy a jam phone? You see, you want to buy a jam phone? You say, hey, now wow. What? Hey, now wow. So he starts thinking, how is it wow? So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, wa innahu, but this of him, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسْتَرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ. But it is easy for the one for whom Allah, the Most High, makes it easy. We ask Allah to make it easy for us. كُلُّ مُيَسْتَرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everyone, wherever he will do, he will go to, and whatever he will attain, he's been made easy for him. May Allah make all things easy for us. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa innahu layasirun ala man yassarahu Allahu ta'ala alayhi. That it is easy for the one for whom Allah the Most High makes it easy. We ask Allah to make it easy for us. It's a great matter, but it is easy. So that's telling us that the path to get to Al-Jannah is easy. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. This deen, that is the path to Al-Jannah, is not difficult one. Allah has not made it difficult. ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم. Allah has not intended to put you into difficulty. He says الدين يسر, this deen is easy. ولا يشاد احد الدين الا غلبه. No one takes the deen difficult except that the deen overtakes him. Says يسروا ولا تعسروا. Make it easy, make the deen easy. Make it easy for people to be able to know. Make it easy for people to be able to act upon it. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Don't make things difficult for them. Any person that does not pray 22 rak'ah in the month of Ramadan has not performed Salatu Taraweeh. يَسِّرُوا. Make it easy. So, alayhi salatu salam, he does not exceed 11 rak'ah. He could be one, alayhi salatu salam, that he will perform. It could be three. It could be five. It could be seven. It could be nine. It could be 11. Any odd, this witr. Between 1 and 11. So as it is easy. And Aisha radiallahu anha, I said, don't ask about how nicely he will pray. So the one who wants to pray 20 is in a rush. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ one rakah. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ one rakah. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Why not combine all the وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ and make one rak'ah from the beginning of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and make one rak'ah so that you, it is nice. الرحمن one rak'ah. That's it. أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ one rak'ah. Don't even say mim, there's not any mim there. أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ Allahu Akbar. No mudud. Abu Abd al-Rahman, no Mahdi. So just like this. So because it is easy. So the one who understands that I can make one, I can make three, I can make five, I can make seven. So it's easy for him. Today he's making 11, tomorrow he will make five. Next tomorrow he makes nine, the other one he wants to make seven. So and then his mind will be there. Before he starts thinking, how many do I want to make today? So he's conscious of it. It's not just the Allah, 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 Allah. Yasir, Yusuf, Adin Yusuf, easy. So anyone who wants to say no, 30, that every person who will pray behind me must wear turban. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ. Allah didn't bring this kind of difficulty. So this deen is easy. The path to Al-Jannah is easy. People used to think that the more difficult a person makes ibadah for himself, the better. They say, so there is an opportunity to enter a plane, Qatar Airlines, it's one of the best airlines you can take to Saudi Arabia now. You have an opportunity to go with Qatar Airlines, you have an opportunity to go with J5. People say, let's go with J5. They say, why? And I say, because you really see the difficulty of going for Hajj. You see the difficulty, so you have more iman. يَسِرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِرُوا. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, if he's traveling, he has two animals. He has a camel, he has a donkey. If he rides the camel, he's tired, he comes down from the camel, he rides on the donkey. Imam Bukhari reported it in Adab al-Mufrad. If he rides the camel, he's tired, he comes down, he comes on the donkey. If he rides the donkey, he's tired, he comes down, he rides on the camel. If someone goes on a journey now with a Benz and a Jeep, he goes to a place where the road is bad, he comes down from the bends and goes into a jeep and they continue the journey. If he goes to a place where the road is smooth, he comes down from the jeep and enters into a bend. People say, oh, it's rough. One is enough for him. La, yasiru, wala tu asiru. As it is easy. Even when the pilgrims move, the Prophet will say, easy. So ease is from our deen. Ease. People should not think that the more it is difficult for you, the more reward. No. Ease. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. It's easy for those. And that's why on the day of Qiyamah, when they are rewarded with ease too. The difficulty of the day of Qiyamah will be faced more by kufar. That's why it says, عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ. For the kuffar, it will not be easy. other than kuffar. So Eve is from this deen. Eve is from this religion. We ask Allah to make pious deeds easy for us. So he was telling him, these things I want to say, they are easy. So listen to them now. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was listening. Radiallahu anhu. Ta'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. Ta'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. You give servitude to Allah. Wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. And you do not join any partner with him, subhanahu. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ. If you said تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, people can give worship to Allah and they still give worship to other than Allah. So it's not complete. The ifrat alone, to say that إِلَّا اللَّهَ alone, is not complete. You see, you have to say لَا إِلَهَ. You have to make nafi. You have to reject everything to worship first. And then leave Allah alone, that is the one deserving of worship. He says, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You give servitude to Allah alone, and you do not associate or join any partner with him. In two ways. In the two ways shirk can be had, major or minor. Either shirk al-akbar or shirk al-asghar. When asghar is usually translated as minor, like when al-kufr duna kufr is talking about that, minor kufr. Someone was saying, are you saying kufr is minor? No, he does not know the meaning of minor. The meaning of minor means lesser. And once you use a word like that, lesser, it is a relative word. So it is minor or lesser compared to shirkul akbar. That is what it means. It does not mean that it is something small, trivial. There's a difference between something being trivial and something being lesser. When you say something is trivial, it does not have any value. And when you say something is lesser, you are talking about relativity. You are relating it to something. So you are talking about lesser shirk, a shirk that is lesser than a worse one. So it's not talking about the sin. The same thing they say major sins and minor sins. People think minor sins are trivial things. No. Minor sins are lesser sins with respect to major sins. The major ones are worse, more serious in the sight of Allah than those ones that are lesser. So when they say shirkul asghar is minor, don't think that minor means trivial. No, it means lesser in category and in seriousness than the major shirk. So like minor shirk, which is riya, or lesser shirk, riya, not the same thing. It falls under this. Ta'budullaha. وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْءٍ. You give servitude to Allah alone. You give worship to Allah alone. So when you worship, don't make people like to praise you for your worship. No. You spoil it. That is from إِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ. But it is a lesser one compared to idolatry and all other aspects of worship. So the Prophet said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, رضي الله عنه, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْءٍ. But he didn't mention وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ. That one is confirmed from the first fadila, from the first fadl we mentioned of Mu'adh. The Prophet had confirmed, I love you. He said to, I love you. So he believes in the Prophet Muhammad. Perhaps because of that it was not mentioned. So shirk billah must be left away from the life of a Muslim. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Because Allah has predicted al-Jannah. He says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Anyone who gives joint partners in worship with Allah, any partner in worship with Allah, it is prohibited for such persons to go into al-Jannah. So that's why I told him, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. There are many passages of the Quran in this expression. He says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. It's for me. He says, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. In Nisa, he says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Give servitude to Allah and do not give any other thing in worship with Allah. He says, وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. And then you establish the salah, iqamatu salah, pray for perform salah at its time, perform salah in jama'ah with the rest of the people in the masjid, and then you pray it as the Prophet alayhi salatu salam performed the salah at its time, and all of these are from iqamatu salah. Wa tu'ti zakah, and you give the zakah, your obligatory due on your wealth. Wa tasumu ramadan, you fast in the month of Ramadan. Wa tahujju al-bayt, you go on hajj. Nistaqata ilayhi sabila. Allah gives you the means. Have the means, go for hajj. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wassalam, ayyuhal nas, inna allaha farza alaykumul hajja hajju. O people, inna allaha farza alaykumul hajj. Allah has obligated this hajj upon you. Fahajju. So make the hajj. In another narration, it says, make the hajj, because any other thing can come between you and the hajj. You may not be able to make it. So if you have the means, go now. And once you have the means, it has become obligatory on you. You must go. So we make the hajj. From the past al-Jannah, these are the pillars of Islam. So he mentioned tawheed, he mentioned salah, he mentioned zakah, the psalm, and hajj. And Ibn Umar had told us in the earlier hadith, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin. And then he mentioned it. And these five have been mentioned. So they are the foundations, the fundamentals of Islam. Summa qala. And then the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not stop. The Prophet did not stop there. He had answered. So summa qala. Ala adulluka ala abwab al-khayr. Should I tell you more? Or should I not tell you more? You can come the same way. Should I tell you more about the means of good deeds, abwab al-khayr, the doors? The ulama say masail. That's why it's in the book. They say babun. At-tayammum. They say babun. Aw babun. Aw kitab. But when they say bab, it means masail. Issues connected to tayammum. Issues connected to husn al-khulq. So, but some of the ulama say no. Abwab al-khayr that the Prophet mentioned here, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's still talking about bab, because he's asking him about al-jannah, and al-jannah is made up of abwab. Abwab of al-jannah, he goes to al-jannah. Okay, let me tell you. So the Prophet asked him, should I tell you also ways of attaining goodness, piety? And he went on to say, alayhi salatu wassalam, as-sawmu junnatun. That fasting is junnah. Defense. Junnatun. Okay. Sit. Like hijab. Something that covers something. Mani. Ulama say, yamna'u sahibahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Fasting prevents the servant in this dunya and akhirah. Because you know, sawm is al-insaq. To hold on not to eat or drink or have sexual relations. Min tulu il fajr ila ghurub ash-shams. From the time that the fajr comes out until the time that the sun sets, this is fasting. So yamna'uhu, sawm mani' junnatun. It prevents him from food and drink and shahwat. So yamna'uhu fi dunya. وَيَمْنَأُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So on the day of Qiyamah, it will also prevent him from the fire. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that what? أَصَّوْمُ جُنَّةٌ. The fasting is a fence. Because in this dunya, it prevents the fasting person from food, drink, and conjugal relations with his household. And then on the day of Qiyamah, it prevents the person from the fire of Jahannam. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَصَّوْمُ جُنَّةٌ. And then he said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةَ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارَ. And then he said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ giving, being generous, giving charity. He says, تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةَ. It takes away. It's usually used when it talks about killing something. Like putting something off. Switching off something. He switches it off. So that's why it is also used for the fire. It says, kama yufi ulma unara, the way water quenches. Makaya. So he says, as sadaqa to tutsi ul khati'a, giving, making sadaqa, giving people, charity, give food, give money, give things, even give smile. Some people don't smile. They think that it is from piety not to smile. Some of the Sufiya are like that. They think that it is from piety not to smile. But what he prevented us from, alayhi salatu wasalam, is kafratu dhahak. Kafratu dhahik is what he prevented us from, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So, wala tuksiru dhahik. Don't laugh all the time. But talking about ibtisam, the Prophet would smile, smiling. The Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullahi in Adab al-Mufrad, he gave two different verbs. The verb for ibtisam, smiling, and the verb for what? Laughing. He even gave the verb for jokes. The Prophet jokes alayhi salatu wasalam. A woman came to tell the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that her husband is inviting the Prophet for meal in their house, to come and eat in their house. You know what the Prophet said to her? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, "Is your husband that man with the white thing in his eyes?" The woman said, "No, my husband does not have white thing in his eyes." She said, "No, he has." She said, "No, he does not have a white thing in his eyes." He said, "No, he has." She said, "No, he does not have." The Prophet said, "Alayhi salatu wasalam, is there anyone from Banu Adam that does not have a white thing in his eyes? Look at your eyes, look at the eyes. Is anybody not having any white in his eyes? Everybody has a white in his eyes." He was joking with her. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And the thing ended like that, she went away. There are many narrations like this. So he would joke, he would smile, but he was not used to laughing. Ha 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 ha. Ulama say when someone smiles, the color of it becomes exposed, and then he is followed with some kah kah. He's saying, ah, 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 that is laughter, it is prohibited. Like that. Somebody laughing, ah, 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 like that, it's prohibited. So we smile, we can expose the teeth and all that, but nothing to the extent of giving that sound that was made. So some of the people think that when you don't smile, ha, mashallah, iman. There is nothing like iman there. The Prophet used to smile, alayhi salam. But he mentioned that from sadaqah. Other narration from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, "Wa sadaqatu tutfi al khati'ata, inna al hasanat yuzhibna al sayyi'at." The good deeds take away shameful deeds. So sadaqah is a good deed, and sins are what we know. So they take them away, they quench them. The way kama yutfi al ma'u nara, the way water quenches fire. That is the way giving sadaqah quenches the sins. May Allah quench our sins. وَصَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ مِنْ جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. He said, similarly, that is, what also quenches sins is صَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ مِنْ جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. In some riwayat, from Al-Faz, fi جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. That in the night, in the middle of the night, when someone stands up, he prays in the night, it kills his sins. It removes his sins from him. The way water quenches fire. And to make us understand that, the evidence for that performing Qiyamul Layl quenches sins, obliterates sins, the way water obliterates fire. The Prophet said, he said, Summa tala. Then the Prophet read, Tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji yad'una rabbahum khawfa wa tama'a wa mimma razaqnahum yunfikun. Allah said, thinking sins like that, فَتَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. He said, إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَسَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا. Now, those who believe in our signs really are those who, if they are good, when they are reminded about the signs of Allah, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا, they fell in prostration. وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ, and then they give tasbih. The Imam Al-Qurtubi alayhi rahmatullah, he said, يُخَلِّتُونَ بَيْنَ التَّصْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ.
So they make tasbih and they make tahmid. Subhana rabbiyal a'la wa bihamdi. Subhana rabbiyal a'la wa bihamdi. See, that's what they say. Wa sabbahu bihamdi rabbihim. Yani, they make mix tasbih and tahmid. Wa hum la yastakbirun. And they are not arrogant. They are not arrogant. Say, no, we don't have time for ibadah. We don't have time for this. Then denying the truth when they see. They are not like that. So from their attributes is that tatajafa junubuhum anil mudadi. They leave aside their sleeping places. The places where they sleep, their beds, water beds, grass beds, any kind of thing. They leave it. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. When they leave it, they stand up in supplication to their Lord. خَوْفًا, they are scared of their misdeeds, their sins. If Allah takes them to account and punishes them, they are afraid. وَطَمَعًا, and they look forward, they are hopeful that Allah is full of showering His pardon and mercy upon His slaves. So they are living between what? بين الخوف ورجاء. So they are afraid and they are hopeful. He says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, and from what we had blessed them with, ينفقون. They give. It's came from what Allah has blessed them. He says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. You know, these people, they didn't know. But we have prepared for them. مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. From women that had the nice looking faces, things that when they see, they are glad. So جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Which will be rewards for that which they used to do. What did they used to do? They are performing a lot of sujood, a lot of tahajjud, a lot of supplication, making dua, and they actually believe in what had been revealed to them. So, some of the scholars have said some things about these verses. That these things are talking about as-sabiquna bil-khairat bi-idhnillah. Because it is sabiquna bil-khairat that we know with performing tahajjud, not committing things, and making all these fasting, making dua and all these, that the ones we know with all these deeds. Like, these things are meant for them. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, which is reward for that which they do. May Allah count us from amongst them. Then the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. Should I not inform you, بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ, is the most important thing in the matter. The ulama say, what is the matter? Some say, الْأَمْرُ الْإِبَادَةِ مَا خُلِقْنَا لِأَجْلِهِ. That is al-ibadah. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ, what have we created? How, for what reason were we created? Ibadah. Should I tell you the most important thing about that? That was what the Prophet asked, alayhi salatu wasalam. Some said some other things. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, so should I inform you about رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ? Should I tell you the most important matter in ibadah? Wa amudihi, and its pillar, wa zirwati sananihi, and the height of it, its peak. Should I tell you the most important things of the matter that is ibadah? Should I also tell you the pillar of ibadah? Should I tell you the highest thing in ibadah, the peak of ibadah? So he wants to tell him the matter, the highest thing in the matter, the pillar of the most important thing of the matter, the pillar of the matter, and the highest point of the matter. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Qultu bala, Mu'ad ibn Jabal. Says, Qultu, I said, bala ya Rasulallah. Tell me, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ra'sul Amri al-Islam. You know, there are three levels to it. One is either a Muslim, or a mu'min, or a Muslim. So, but the foundation of it all is to be what? A Muslim. So it says al-Islam. Yani al-Islamu tamatan lillah. To completely submit to Allah. And we know his pillars. He had mentioned it to us. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It says wa amuduhu as-salah. Its pillar that's holding it, that does not fall is salah.
to become such that inna bayna ar-rajli wa bayna al-kufri aw ash-shirki tarku salat. Inna dhalika yusif wa man tarakaha faqad kafara. And all other narrations and verses of the Quran that speaks about the importance of salah, that makes us understand once the salah is gone, there is no Islam. So nobody should deny the obligation of salah. And the one who lazily leaves salah without performing it should know that his pillar is shaking and it can fall anytime. The shaking pillar can fall anytime. So it might not have fallen, but it could fall anytime. But the one who has abandoned it and said, no, look, it's not obligatory for me, only just leave me alone. No, it has fallen already. I tell him, please make shahada. But the one says, okay, please pray for us. May Allah make it easy. May Allah make it easy, inshallah, inshallah. Tell him, you are nearing to fall the pillar. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa amudihi as-salah. Wa amuduhu as-salah. The amud, the pillar of Islam or the matter is salah. He says, wa zirwatu sananihi al-jihad. And that piece of it is jihad, because once there is salah, there is Islam, there is zakah, there is hajj, the next thing is jihad. If you don't accept now, we kill you. You start now to make jihad, zirwatu al-amr. The piece of it is jihad. So when ibadah is established, akikah is established, people can pay zakah, people fast, people go for hajj, then we start telling, where are the rest of the people, those opponents of Allah's deen, where are they? So we start telling them, accept Islam, or be ready to fight us, or allow us to make dawah. Because the people, the leaders of people, either allow the Muslims to come into their community to expose Islam to their subjects or subordinates, or they must be ready to fight the Muslims, or they themselves should accept Islam. At worst, they must be ready to pay jizya. Be under us. Be ready. So we'll be enjoying whatever comes from them and be telling them. So you'll be feeling subjugation for as long as they come to become Muslims. People like Tamim Ibn Aus, Abu Ruqayya, he used to say that those are from the things he enjoyed most about Islam, because his people were Christians. So when he accepted Islam, he was not paying jizya, but his people were paying jizya. They said, me, I'm not paying jizya. I'm from you, but me, I'm not from you. I'm from you, but I'm not from you. I'm Muslim, so I'm not paying jizya. I enjoyed it. Radiallahu, he was a Christian. So they will be subjugated. They will live subjugate under the Muslims. Subject under Muslims. So that is the peak. That time the land is established. This is the problem, part of the problem. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he referred to jihad as zirwatu sinani, the peak of the matter. But the problem is that today the matter is not even, the iman, the amud itself is not even established. People are talking about the peak. How do you get to the peak? Like Imam Sufyan al-Thawri would say when he's asking about Asani. He says the man wants to go on the top of the Duni Sulam. He wants to go on top of the house without a ladder. The pillar is Salah. He says the Rasul Amru is Islam. No, most people have hardly found themselves as Muslims. Salah is shaking. So you are now asking of the last one, Jihad. So say, oh no, go and carry the gun. So the time has come. Who said the time has come? So because people think that once they can go to the market and buy boots and then wear a cloth looking like the cloth of soldiers and do taekwondo, they can fight kuffar. No soldier will start doing taekwondo with you today. Huh? No soldier man. No, have you seen that thing before? The man in black belt taekwondo is doing taekwondo to soldier. He can't. The soldier is not taught to fight you taekwondo, he's taught to kill you. Even armed robbers that are carrying weapons run away from soldiers, because they carry the weapons to defend themselves. Why soldiers carry the weapons? So that they can die.
They have already signed that one from the beginning. No, the soldier man has signed that me in Nigeria, I won't die. But you, you are already carrying the gun because you want to run away. So you see, most people at the end of the day, they say they want to do the idea, they come out. When they see shelling, they start running away. The problem starts from there. And those people encircle, they start killing Muslims as if they are killing South. Why? Because they jump the fence. He's jumping the fence. The last thing they want to do is the first. Wasn't the prophet the one that was tied in the neck? That the stripes of the tying were showing on his neck? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was saying, you want to kill a man because he says Allah is one. That's the reason why you want to kill him. The prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was making tawaf and making sujood one day in Haram. And one of them, I think Abu Jahl, came and was telling the prophet that, look, he is going to call some people now to attack the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say to him? Allah revealed the past to him that if he calls his people, he says sanad uzdabaniya. What was the verse before that verse? He says fal yad'u nadiya. Let him call those people that he wants to call. Sanad'u zabaniya. We are going to call the angels from the fire. The angels will come that will deal with them, will come from Jahannam. Those people, the prison warders, you know the wardens, they are in the prison, but they are the ones meting the punishment to the inmates. Those angels, Zabaniya, they are the ones who will call. Faliyat or Nadia, let him call his people that he thinks he wants to call. Sanat or Zabaniya. He says, Allah, don't mind him, La to say who was Jud Waktari. He will be making sujood coming closer to your Lord. It was in Makkah. But later the man has changed. So fight them. Ya ayyuha an-nabiy, jahid al-kuffar wal-munafiqin. Fight them now. So people want to start with Allah, Allah to say who has did what started. Don't mind him. You be making your own sujood. He's doing tajid. People don't want to start from that one. It is jihad they want to start first. No tajid, no nothing, no siyamulay, no fasting. It is jihad first. So it is jumping the fence. Is jumping the fence. Jihad, just like Salah, it has shuruf, it has demands, it has things in it. But people don't want to know that. Say, no, jihad, it's Rashad, Allah, Akbar, Kabir, Kabir, Allah, Akbar. So they start asking the person giving, so when is the date we are going to start? Start with who? With what? So people waste themselves, they waste their time, they waste their lives. May Allah forgive them. Because they are still Muslims even when they had heard. May Allah forgive all those brothers and the sisters and the innocent people that had been killed. If you watch any of these videos that we are shown on these things, they were very terrible. One I saw one day, I could not sleep, 3 days. 6 people, 3 of them were caught, they cashed them like this, they didn't lie down. They were shooting Muslims like this. Ah! And if you see those people, you see that this one can't fight Mopo, a class of soldier. They start shooting them. They were already dead before they shot them. After that one, there were some of them looking at what they were doing. After that batch, they brought another batch, lie them down again, start shooting them. Like foul. These are Muslims who want to make jihad. No. So they just waste Muslims. And all was in hell and agitation. And that's why mere agitation does not make something right. You cannot make it right. I just agitate. We want so thing. Does not mean that thing will come to you at that time. Yes, we want dollar to Islamia. Nobody, there is no person who does not want dollar Islamia. No, you can have it. Did he not tell his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Wasbir ala ma yaquluna wahjurhum hajran jameela. Be patient what they are saying, don't worry, just leave them, don't mind them. In fact, don't mind them nicely, in a nice manner. Wazarni wal mukazzibin. Leave me with those people who don't accept. Leave me, don't worry. He was persuading his messenger, don't worry, the time has not come. Just be patient. Time. The last one,
people want to make it the first one. So there'll be trouble. There'll be problems. You waste lives. You waste. So Allahu alam, ulama say it is error in judgment. May Allah forgive all the brothers that had been involved. Summa qala, ukhbiruka bimilaki zalika kulli. Should I tell you what will safeguide all of that? Ukhbiruka bimilaki zalik. What will safeguide your salah, your song, your hajj? It will present it to preserve it for you. It will make you have it to perfection. Should I tell you what will preserve all of what I have mentioned to you? Qultu bala ya Rasulallah. So come, you messenger of Allah. Fa akhadha bi lisanihi. So the Prophet held his tongue. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa qala kuffa alayka hadha. And said, guide this one. Tongue. Kuffa alayka hadha. Protect this one. Preserve this one. Tongue. Protecting it will preserve all of these things. Not protecting it will make you lose all of those things. Because when you finish the sadaqah, finish salat, finish jihad, all those people you abuse will come and collect it from you on the day of Qiyamah. You abuse this one, you abuse this one. We know the hadith, go. You abuse this one, you abuse this one, you abuse this one. You will come on the day of Qiyamah. Please bring his good deeds. Those is tahajjud. Today, now we go collect them. We start collecting the deeds of such persons. And when he does not have good deeds again, they start piling sins for him. Add to the sins. So he becomes a loser on the day of Qiyamah, Muflis, as he called him, alayhi salam. So, but if you do that, it will help you preserve all of those things that he had mentioned. So he said, alayhi salatu salam, kuffa alayka hadha, preserve, guide these things for yourself. Qultu ya nabiyya Allah, I said, O Prophet of Allah, wa inna lamu akhazuna bima natakallamu bihi. Are we going to be held responsible for ma, all of what we say? Are we going to be held responsible bima natakallamu bihi, for all of what we say? We are going to be held responsible. For qala, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, sakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. Sakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. May your mother miss you, O Mu'adh. May your mother lose you, O you, O Mu'adh. It's like a curse, Adi. But it means, what are you saying, O Mu'adh? Listen to what I will say. Ulama, the Arabs have things like that. Like saying, waylak, or wayhak. Wail means woe. But it means, please listen to me. Are you kindly listening to me? So when he says, Sakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. What are you saying, O Mu'adh? If you are really wrong. So they make those statements, they mean something else, but the statement shows something else. It's from the attributes, the ways that are speak. So they know. For them, it's not abuse, because they know that it's not meaning an abuse. That's their asalib of talking. That's their own method of talking and giving presentation. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Sakilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh. May your mother be lost. May your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. Wahal يَقُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَلَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. He says, وَأَلْ يَقُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. Is there anything? There is تقديم of مفعول هنا, because it is حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. At the end, I should come at the beginning, but there is taqdeem wa ta'khir of the maf'ool and the fa'il. So he says, وَهَلْ يَقُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. Are people turned on their faces down into the fire? Is there anything that makes it that people are turned down with their faces on the ground? Then they walk into the fire. Is there anything that causes that thing? Except حَفَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, what their tongues read. Is there anything that makes people be torn their faces upside down into the fire, then it will process it much more like like the things their tongues earn. Is there anything? Meaning that what the tongues earn usually brings a lot, or will bring a lot of people to be caused to walk on their faces into the fire. The tongue, Hafar Idul Al-Sina, what the tongues reap, what the tongues earn, they bring about a lot of people will get into the fire as a result. May Allah save us from the fire. So this tongue, we should be careful about it. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man somata naja, the one who remains silent, naja, is successful or becomes successful. In the hadith we had read, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُنْ. Let him say that which is good or remain silent. There are many narrations. مَنْ يَدْمُنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِخِيَيْهِ وَفَخِذَيْهِ أَدْمُنُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The one who guarantees me of his tongue, مَا بَيْنَ لِخِيَيْهِ, what is in between his two cheeks, وَفَخِذَيْهِ, and his two laps, أَدْمُنُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, I guarantee him الْجَنَّةِ. So his organs and his tongue. These narrations are many about guiding the tongue, and from them is this hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, he says, احفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان, guide your tongue, O man. He says, لا يلدغنك إنه صعبان, guide your tongue so that your tongue does not bite you, because إنه صعبان, that your tongue is a huge snake. اشفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان, guide your tongue, O man. لا يلدغنك فإنه صعبان, so that it does not bite you, because that tongue you are seeing, as small as it is in your mouth, it is a snake that is big. He said عليه رحمة الله, كم في المقابر من قتيل لسانه, how many people are in the grave that were killed by their tongues? Many people are in the graves. What killed them? Their tongues. How many people are in the graves that have been killed by their tongues? قَدْ كَانَ هَذَا لِقَاءَهُ الشُّجُعَانِ, this man that his tongue killed him, even the shuj'an, the brave amongst men and powerful, they are afraid of him, but his small tongue killed him. This man that's in the grave, his tongue killed him. Brave people are afraid of him. Strong people are afraid. But as small as his tongue is, it killed him. So he says, احفظ لسانك أيها الإنسان, so guide your tongue, O man. And the Prophet said to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that on the day when we wake up every morning, all parts of the body, they start telling the tongue, go tongue, be careful. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا, if you are steadfast, we will be steadfast. If you are like this, crooked, we will be crooked too. So all parts of the body say to the tongue, that it is what you do that we follow. If you are steadfast, we will be steadfast. If you are crooked, there is trouble. So be careful, be careful, fear Allah. The rest of the body say to the tongue. The Prophet said, the body say to the tongue. So they say, the body says. People should not be surprised. Even in this dunya, apart from what he told us about akhirah, that's why kuffar will say, lima shahidtum alayna, فَقَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ أن يشهد عليكم سمعكم ولا بصركم ولا جلودكم ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون فذلكم ظنكم الذي ظننتم بربكم أرداكم فأصبحتم من الخاسرين. May Allah count us out of those people. So we believe from this dunya that our limbs speak from this hadith. And they talk to the tongue. It means the tongue also hears. So let's be careful of what we say. Usually things like this get out of the mind and the tongue is cut loose again. So the body will say, he is talking to his tongue. He was just saying, he was just now. So like he said, how many people are in the grave? People fear death so much, but their tongue killed them. How many people have not taken part in an evil, but what they had said one day brought them to evil? What did he say? One day he said so thing, so arrest him too. Go and arrest him. Maybe he may not be, you know, involved. Because he had said one thing, his tongue had bought for him one day, one dinar of evil. So don't mind the telecommunication companies that are saying talk the talk. Don't talk the talk. They say what you want. You see, they are the same thing. Talk the talk and say what you want. Don't say what you want to, unless you are sure that it is khair. Because فَلْيَكُلِ الْخَيْرِ أَوْلِيَةٍ. So you say good or bad. Don't talk the talk and don't say what you want, so that you don't have a punishment you don't think of, you don't expect. May Allah save us from his wrath. I hope that this hadith has been explained, inshallah. And I pray that Allah makes us understand better than it has been explained. If there are one or two questions, we'll try to. This hadith, Rawahu Tirmidhi, and Imam Tirmidhi has reported this hadith in his Sunan. We know Al-Imam Tirmidhi, we talked about him sometime. Al-Imam Tirmidhi, Abu Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa, Ibn Surah, Al-Tirmidhi. From Tirmidhi, one of the students of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Bal, one of his most eminent students, alayhi rahmatullah. He talks about Al-Imam Tirmidhi. He has many books. From them is Sunan Al-Tirmidhi, and the most popular of them. He has books, Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyya. He has Ilal Al-Qadir, alayhi rahmatullah. He has Ilal Al-Saghir that he appended to his Sunan Al-Tirmidhi. He has other books, alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Tirmidhi, he was very learned, very pious, very worshipful. It was said that he used to cry so much. And he lived very old. He would cry until his eyes became white. So when he heard verses of the Quran, he would weep. Imam al-Tirmidhi, alayhi rahmatullah. Very learned from the scholars of Islam, amongst the people of hadith and sunnah, alayhi rahmatullah. وقال حديث حسن صحيح. And he said this hadith is حسن صحيح. We have explained what حسن صحيح is. So we will not explain today, inshallah. We will stop here today. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Yeah, the ulama Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd ibn Abdullah, he said if we make sujood tilawa, we should commence this sujood with these azkar, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, and then say those azkar that we know for sujood tilawa. If he dies upon it, he will not dwell in the fire forever, because it's not kufur. It is kufur, but it is duna kufuru al-mukharriju anil-millah. It is kufur, but it is lesser than the kufur that takes somebody out of the path. Do you understand? So it is the kufur that takes somebody out of the path that makes the person stay in the hell forever. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. مناخرهم. Yeah. He's not committing anything, but it will be easier for him to understand and it will be more in fulfilling the essence for the revelation of the Quran. It says, "Kitabun anzalnahu mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatazakkara ulul albab." So the Quran is a book that is blessed, that is being revealed, liyadabbaru ayatihi, so that its verses are pondered upon. Wa liyatazakkara ulul albab, the people of knowledge seek remembrance from it. So that is the essence of the revelation of the Quran. If someone takes tilawa, hifz alone, he has not really achieved, you know, the main aim of the revelation of the Quran. It's just from it. But the essence is tadabbur and tahalluq bi akhlaqihi, taking to, you know, the practices of the Quran. That was why Aisha radiallahu anha described the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, kana khulquhu al-Quran, his character was the Quran. The ulama say that is evidence that the Quran has been revealed so that we can take it as character, not just reciting it. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri used to say, alayhi rahmatullah, that the Quran was revealed, لِيَعْمَلُ بِهِ أُنزِلَ الْقُرْآنِ لِيَعْمَلُ أُنزِلَ الْقُرْآنِ لِلْعَمَلِ فَاتَّخَذُوا تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلًا. The Quran was revealed so that it can be acted upon. But people take tilawa as action. So they take Quranic recitation as action, competition. So people sit down and start preparing. What are you doing? I'm preparing for competition. But you should be reading the Quran to earn reward. But it's reading it to be able to say Qalqalatu Sughra and Kubra well. The woman is reciting to a male judge. Ulama say it is wrong. Someone asked Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah that can a woman read the Quran with a sonorous voice to a man that is not a mahram? He said no, it's not permissible. A woman is reading to a man. He's not a mahram. He's not anything of how, and it is not any injunction of religion they are following. Or is there any injunction that says she should read to him? So one man's wife starts reading to another man's husband, and she will be shaking her voice in the best way. The man will be affecting the voice of another person's wife. They are not ashamed. See, she has a sweet voice, 40. You are giving a woman, another man's wife, 40% in her voice. You are not ashamed of yourself. At the end of the day, oh, she's the one who knows that. One person come and open her and he calls. It is the voice you are hearing. See her face. The man will be happy. My wife carry first. Jahil. My wife carry first. Your wife that they be enjoying her voice. And at the end, one person, one Allah knows who come and open her face for them to see that the voice you have been enjoying, this is the face. You come and say, my wife carry first. Allah Mustafa. Many of them will be thinking of marrying those women. That's the reality. Many of them in their hearts, I wish I had this woman as my wife. That's what they will be saying. Judges. And so Allah has not revealed the Quran for something like that. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي خَيْرًا لَسَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. If there is any good in it, companions would have been, they would be doing competition, or would have been 1,400 edition of World Quranic competition. That's what you'll be hearing. Go and carry people's wife and people's daughters and children and start asking them to read Quran. You are awarding their voice 10%, 40%. You say that one is sunnah too. And the people of Tariqah are now asking you that where is the dalil for that? You say Maulid Nabi is bad. What is Maulid Quranic competition? Where do you see that one? So you say Maulid Nabi is bad. It does not have proof. Does Quranic competition have proof? And the good of the Sufiya said it is because they are gaining million and car from it. But Maulid Nabi, they should spend money. They don't want to spend money. But in Quranic competition, they get money. So they like Quranic competition because they don't want to get the money. But Maulid, they should really want to spend money. They don't want to spend. No, how do you defend that? The two does not have basis. Money the big, money the Quranic competition, Musabaqa to the Quran, they are all the same. If they say it has proof, they should bring it. They should bring it. Allah didn't reveal Quran for that. Allahu Alam. You know, they even do so many things. So some people do juju. Yes. To confess, they use jinns to charm themselves. I'm telling you, so that people will make mistakes. You've not heard it before? So that is the Quran they are talking about, Quranic competition. Allah didn't reveal Quran for that. Alaykum as-salam. So that they can win 1 million and share. Now,
it's about time for what he's saying. If you read some books, because what is when you say asbab al-tan al-ruwat, it means perhaps you see it in al-minah. That author just used that term or you used, that's why I thought that's why. See, he mentioned 10. 5 of them will come from his issues connected to Adala, and 5 will come from issues connected to Dr. Roy. There are 10 of them. Those that will come from Adala are fisk, bid'ah, kufr, la, muru'a la yat'anu fi adalati. I can remember 3 now quickly. Perhaps before I mention the other 3. The others that are connected to his bed as to in him. Then the first criteria, Count Mutam bin Khabib and Al-Wadha. Count Yusufan has completed 5. So the one that has to do with his dubbed as Queen Hib, Kafratul Ikhtilat. Another thing, go and look at it there. Atiya bil Minah, Ilm al-Mustalih. That is the one who used that kalima you use. And these are the sentences he mentioned. I mentioned 8, look for the 2 that remain. He mentioned 10. It is written by Abdul Muhsin Abad, and I think one Hassan Murad or something. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum as-salam. Zakah. Yes. Okay. Okay, not to say it, okay. Yeah, some people have said that, but it is wrong. That you can't pay zakah with our currency that we spend. Sheikh Mashur Hassan Ali Salman has a risala that's very lengthy on this, repeating that it is wrong. And he mentioned that from among those who said that we should not do that the first time it was said was around 1925. The first time it was said that they should not do that, based on what he said, in the recent time, the first person who said that was, he started mentioning the person's name. If I'm not forgotten, his name is Al-Habashi, was the man's name. So he started saying that and all that. But the right thing is that the dinar and the dirham upon which the nisab of zakah is based is the same, they are the currency that was being spent at the time. So the fact that there's no dinar and dirham today does not mean that naira and kobo or dollar and pound sterling and all of these does not stand in their place. Because they do what dinar and dirham were doing. They are the means of exchange at the time. You want to buy something, you pay dinar. You go to the market, you pay dinar or dirham. If you go to the market today, what do you spend? You spend dirham or dinar too, but today in naira and kobo. So this is what the ulama have said, Allahu Alam. And they say that it is wrong, that the position is wrong. And anyone who considers that position right will not be paying zakah from just zakah to la nukub. Will not pay zakah from his money, cash that he has. But he has others that he could pay. If he has camels, he pays zakah on his camels. If he has farm, he pays zakah on those things that are zakatable from the farm produce and things like this. It still does not mean that zakah is not a pure Islam. So if they say you can't pay naira and kobo, you can pay other things. That is even based on their own opinion. But that their opinion itself is wrong. Allahu Akbar. Stop. Alaykum salam. We had, you had asked the question. Alaykum salam. The brother says, those people, that people had already abused and said evil of, it is common. Brothers, it is very common. People say things about people that people have not done. And when they have done them, Al-Imam Afa ibn Abi Rabah, Imam Bukhari mentioned this in Adab al-Mufrad, that he considered, if a person comes and says, so woman committed zina, so that person will tell you that the woman committed zina should be flogged. If you say, why should he be flogged? He said, because he made zina to be popular. That it is true, the person committed zina, but the person should be dealt with first for making it, for announcing it, making people hear that people can even attempt to commit zina. There was a narration between Abdullah ibn Omar and Abdullah ibn Abbas. This hadith, the reporter covered them up. Radiallahu anhum. He covered them up because he didn't say who amongst them made the statement. He said, Adas Imam Ikrimah al-Barbari. He says, one of them invited the other to a meal. So while they were eating, there was a slave girl sweeping the ground, and one of them said, you harlot, to the woman. And the other one said, why are you saying that? That if you are not punished for false accusation in this dunya, you'll be punished for false accusation on the day of Qiyamah. But they didn't say who said what. But it was regarding the two of them. So they, in some narration it was said that the slave was freed, Allahu A'lam. But what I'm just trying to say is that easily people make, you can make a statement that they have. It could be for act of forgetfulness sometimes, but most of the time, like in the case of the companions that we mentioned, they have act of forgetfulness, and don't forget these are companions. Radiallahu anhum, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Omar. They have good things, a lot of good things in their Mizan al-Hasanat. Radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas or Ibn Omar. Anyone. Ibn Omar transferred a lot of knowledge to this Umar. Nafi. Mawla Ibn Omar. Ibn Omar did not free Nafi until he died. So he is supposed to be a slave in the household of Ibn Omar. When they wanted to share his property, they said they will sell Nafi. You know what Nafi said? He said, "In the tumuni biltum uluma abikum. If you sell me, you have sold the knowledge of your father. If you sell me, all the knowledge of your father, you have sold it. He left in the freedom, they are the free now. Stay in this house." That you mixed with Ibn Omar so much that it's hardly ever known that it's not his son, such that his own father's name is not even known. The name of the father of Nafi is not known other than Mawla Ibn Omar. Say, you want to sell me? Sell me. You sell your father's knowledge. You understand? So these are companions, Sabakuna bil Khair. And radiallahu anhum wa radu an. But when we mention things like this, we can take lessons from them, that if people like this say something like this, and yet the other one is correcting the other, don't say that, so we have greater things amongst ourselves to correct and to be careful about. And this thing has happened, many scholars speak about it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was saying that there are some people, when they do some things, Allah may not punish them, or if you do it, Allah will disgrace you. He said, one Nabi Musa alayhi salam was annoyed. He carried his Torah and hit on the ground. If you do it, carry a life to keep on the ground, you become a kafir. Say after Musa is Torah, you hit it, let it. Say, so there are some people, when they do some things, Allah will not punish them. But if you do that same thing, you will shock the year. So we should be careful and not say because the companion, people say things, people talk, people spoil people's character, people disgrace people, people abuse people, people backbite them, people say so many things about people that is not right. So the brother is asking, how does someone clarify all that before the day of Qiyamah? No, Giba and Namima and all of these, they are from Kabair. And from making Tawbah about Kabair is that there must be Tawbah and all the shurut of Tawbah must be complete. The last one that they are arguing about, people like Ibn Taymiyyah and also Ibn Taymiyyah and Jawziyyah, is going to meet the person. But must I go and meet the person to say, so dear, I said so thing about you, please forgive me? Some say yes, you must do it. Some say no, you don't need to do it, it will cause greater harm. This is the position of the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi wa sallam. If you think doing so will bring about greater harm, don't do it. If it will not bring any harm, or if it will even bring good, then do it. If you don't know whether it will bring good or harm, don't do it. But there must be real repentance from all this. And to delay repentance itself must be repented for. But anyone who does these things or has done it against a person before, that he doesn't say, I'll repent tomorrow itself. That delay of repentance itself is a sin. And it must be repented for that. Inshallah, I will not delay repenting again. And then you now repent for the original sin again. It's really, really bad. So that's why the A'imma said, if someone comes to you and says, so person, this person, okay, there are five steps you can take. He said the first one is that disregard him. And don't accept what he has said as truth. Because qattat are those people who go about with slander. So they are what? Fusak. They are evildoers. So people reject his shahada. So the second one is give him nasiha. Tell him to stop it. So the third one is don't depend on what he has said by thinking evil of that person that he said so and so about you. Don't depend on what he said so that you begin to feel somehow about that brother. Then two other things that I can't remember. It's in Sharh Sayyid Abul Mufrad when he was talking about Al-Ghiba wal Namima. He mentioned this thing that ulama say this is what we will do. It's very common. Someone comes and say, brother, so and so said you did so and so. When someone comes like, I don't believe him. Don't have any negative feeling against the other. But it's so common, so common. So common. Allah says, I can fast to remember in fact about Yanu. There's no even about Yanu now. People believe everything everybody says to them. And so that to know when Allah was saying that, why don't you say that Aisha could not have done that? So there people don't even say that, so and so could not have done such and such. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. So the person has to really actually make tawbah, and if telling the person will bring good, you should tell him. If it will not bring good, you should not tell him. If he does not know whether it will bring good or it will not bring good, he should not also tell him. Until he is sure that it will bring good, then he can tell him that I said so and so. If it is even that perhaps he collected some property from him, he betrayed him in terms of his property, he should also return it if it will bring good. If it will not bring good, because from other people, you steal this money so today. That is when the problem has just started. So they say it is maslaha to make you know whether you go back to the person or not. Allahu a'lam. Last question. What happened to the ruling? He said the ruling of Islam. Okay, you are asking what is the ruling. You didn't ask the question. You didn't bring any other of istifham. You are just saying the ruling. Okay, jumla khabariya. بمعنى الاستفهام. Okay. Islam wants people say that المسلم القوي خير وأحب عند الله من المسلم الضعيف. People misunderstood this hadith 100%. They say المسلم القوي, المؤمن القوي, the strong mu'min. So they think that it is the mu'min that is carrying heavy weight, that has muscle like this. خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ. لَا, المؤمن القوي, قوي الإيمان, المؤمن, it is إيمان القوي, يعني القوي الإيمان. So what is saying that the mu'min with a greater iman, with a stronger iman, is more beloved than the mu'min with a lesser iman. It is not saying a Muslim that can carry any weight is better than the Muslim. If not, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman, climbed the tree and the people were looking at his leg and laughing. He said, what leg are you laughing at? He said, the leg of Ibn Mas'ud. He said, those legs weigh more than Mount Uhud in the sight of Allah. Those legs they are saying. And ulama say the Araq tree that he climbed, it's usually the height of the average man. The Araq, the tree that Ibn Mas'ud climbed that they were laughing, it's usually the height of the man, a person's height. So you can imagine somebody climbing the kind of a tree, and yet his leg is small on the tree. How is he? How is Ibn Mas'ud? So he said, because he's not carrying weight. The one who is carrying weight, people like Mughira are better than Ibn Mas'ud. لا وكل وعد الله الحسنى, but Ibn Mas'ud خير من مغيرة بن شعبة. There is a deal among Sahaba, I'm sure we know that. So people use this, and then we should prepare to go and fight war. Yes, the Sharia encourages things like walking, running. It's known that Hiran alayhi salatu wasalam made exercise for health purpose, to keep fit, that the body is fit, because it is from medicine now. It is from medicine now that we make exercise. Okay. But I do not see an exercise that a Kanu Wanko is making. It's not exercise. Is it exercise that Kanu Wanko is making? It's not exercise. When we were in primary and secondary school, they carry us out for PE, especially in the primary school, PE, physical education. We just jump and go back to the class so that we can get mathematics during the teachers, where our brain will be open. So if they bring us out that time for 15 or 20 minutes, so teacher, is this still, they still do it now? You bring those students out, do you share jersey for them? You share them jersey and boots and create fans club, start shouting, Allah Akbar. When you start goes, hey, Allah Akbar. No, this one is not what the Sharia is saying. Besides all other things, it has been said even shirk now. Amongst lovers of football. They love football more than everything, including Allah now. They eat it now, they drink it, they sleep it. They do everything about it. And most of those people love now and regard, I always say this thing, so that people will hate these people and hate their attitudes. Ronaldinho and Romario, I read it in the newspaper myself, Sunday Punch, I think, or Tribune, 2 years ago, in May. You can look for the newspaper, I read it 2 years ago, in May, Sunday Punch or Tribune. 2 pages, full pages. They played a match in England. They ordered the people to bring prostitutes for them. They misbehaved with the prostitutes. All what they did with those prostitutes in the newspaper. Those are the people Muslims we love. When they ask you, what is this person? I say, Ronaldinho. This one that's making a shout, Saisha. The other one said one day that the people he hates most are Muslims. Muslims shout, hey. He makes a lot of evils. People in Nigeria. Do you know, 2 years ago in Arafat, the place where I was, just next to South African brothers, we're in the same camp actually, but our tent, then just if you take 10 steps, you get into their tent. So when we were leaving from Muzdalifah, my brother came to me 2 years ago, that is not the very last Hajj, the one before it.
He asked me from Father, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you, brother?" "Fine, alhamdulillah, mashallah, takabbalallah." He said, "We meet in South Africa 2010. I said, "Me and you?" On Arafat, South Africa 2010. Because of football. So he can't even on Arafat, the day that the angels are happy, Allah is glad with the people on Arafat, he's still remembering 2010. So that shows the place of this thing in the hearts of people. So when people love a thing like this, a thing that for which a brother cut off the head of his sister, broke the head of his sister with a mortar. I read it in the newspaper. It happened in, I think, Kogi. The boy was watching football. The sister wanted to watch team. I think the boy stood up, went to urinate. By the time he came back, the sister has put it in the what the team she wants to watch. And his club was losing. He went to the kitchen, took a mortar, hit it on the head of his sister. The girl died instantly. That is what Muslims should be doing. Sit down and watch football. That has become something else. There is a brother himself and his son. When they sit down, they are talking about football. I told him, I said, "You destroy this boy. You will destroy this boy. Afana." The father said, "I know it is Afana." This man said, "It is Manchester." They start talking. Father and son. So it is common now as an evil. So people should be careful about all this. What have people been gaining from it? And then Muslims will say, "We Muslims." People will say, we are Manchester." Some Muslims will say, "No, we are another club," and they begin to hate themselves. Don't doubt it. So husband and wife have problems regarding these things because they beat their club yesterday. He will not have conjugal relations with his wife. Say, "No, I can't do that." So there are problems like this because something in itself may not be prohibited. There are muharramat li dhatihi and muharramat li ghayrihi. This one is muharramat now li ghayrihi, and ghayr is kafir. Some of which may even include shirk. Because now some people go to watch and play football to win. To do that first, they must first of all go and do juju. You know that? In the olden times, they used to blame Ashanti Kotoko of that. Then later Hearts of Oak. They used to blame them, they used to do. Later came to Flash Flamingos. They used to blame them for doing juju. Now I'm only Allah knows the number of people doing juju. Unfortunately, every child in the street now wants to play football, professional soccer. How many people will Labagag or what's his name put in the team? Everywhere is ball. Schools now ball. Everywhere is ball. Ball, ball, ball. So people won't do any other thing except ball. Such that the president of a country even has time to go and sit down for a dinner with footballers. He does not have any other job again. When there's no electricity and water, he's to sit down with footballers. So he's just saying the extent to which this thing has gone. It's taking people's precious time and becoming something else. The Muslim should be careful. Only Allah knows where it will end. What the way football is going now, only Allah knows where it will end. Only Allah knows where it will end. You know the millions and billions of pounds sterling they invest into it now? It's one of the biggest industries in the world now. And also 98% of those footballers are fusak. Real fisk. If they tell you, if you know the private life of some of them, and Muslims will be sharing him up. Hey, you are sharing a party? We'll stop here, inshallah.